I have a simple message tonight. In fact, I don't have any points, except for one. And that's the title of my message, God is Easy to Please, but Hard to Satisfy. I want to make a statement tonight, and I don't take offense until you hear the message. I don't think there's a single person in this room that God is satisfied with. He's not satisfied with you. He's not satisfied with me. He's not satisfied with any of us. And because God's not satisfied with any of us, we ought not to be satisfied with ourselves. We read in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we beseech you and exhort you how we ought to walk and please God. And we please God when we are obedient. We please God when we do the things that he tells us to do. And it's easy to please God. We can do that every day. We can do that multiple times a day, simply by being obedient to what he tells us to do. But when you please God, don't stop there. That's what it says, how you ought to walk and please God, so that ye would abound more and more. And what that abounding more and more leads to is that word there in verse 3, for this is the will of God. The will of God for every Christian is your sanctification. You're setting apart to God. You becoming more and more like Jesus Christ with the ultimate aim of like Paul said, I will be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And it's easy to please God, but it's hard to satisfy him. You see, salvation happens instantaneously, but sanctification happens over time. It happens through the experiences in our Christian life. And so we ought to please God, and it's easy to please God, but we ought not to stop at pleasing God. We ought to strive to satisfy him by becoming more and more like his son. Our problem is we get the two mixed up. We get pleasing God and satisfying God mixed up. And the tragedy is that too many Christians get pleased and then satisfied with themselves, and they never make any more progress toward the goal of sanctification. Now, I'm going to give you some examples tonight so you know what I'm talking about. This is September. In a couple, 3 months, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. I always look forward to Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays. I enjoy eating on Thanksgiving. When my brother was in charge of Thanksgiving dinner, we never started eating until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I always thought that was too late, because the earlier you eat, the hungrier you get earlier in the afternoon, and then you can eat again. If you eat at 2 o'clock, I mean, you're going to bed before you get hungry again. So this year, because he's not in charge of it, I'm moving it up to 11 o'clock. We're going to eat at 11 o'clock, and then we'll be hungry again by 4, and we can eat again, and then we'll be hungry again by bedtime, and we can snack. So I want you to think with me about Thanksgiving. You sit down at the table. It is stocked high with all sorts of Thanksgiving food. There is turkey. There is dressing. There is mashed potatoes and gravy. There are green beans, corn, sweet potatoes, ambrosia salad, cranberry sauce, bread, and all the other things that go along with Thanksgiving dinner. You pray. And then you take your fork, you cut a piece of turkey, get a little dressing and gravy on it, you put it on your mouth, and you savor that first bite. Amen? Good preaching. Amen? You're pleased, aren't you? You're pleased. I mean, it tastes so good. You've been looking forward to it all year, and you're pleased, but you are not satisfied. You're pleased, but you won't be satisfied until you finish that plate, and then another plate, and then a part of the third plate, and you're laying on the couch promising God you'll never eat again, begging somebody to bring you some Maalox or Pepto-Bismol for your stomach. That's when you're satisfied, when you can't eat anymore. And again, God's easy to please. We can be obedient to him and we can please him, but he will not be satisfied until we are sanctified, when we become like Jesus Christ. I go to the candy counter. I like Reese's peanut butter cups. They're not my favorite, but I was talking to somebody yesterday, I think at the wedding, Carol, and they were telling me that they have come out with thick Reese's peanut butter cup. I've got my eye out to try to find one of those. The way they were talking about, they were that thick, that much chocolate and that much peanut butter. Now, you buy some Reese's peanut butter cups. You take one bite. You're pleased. Right? Amen. You're pleased. It tastes good, especially if you like chocolate and peanut butter like me. But you're not satisfied. I mean, it may take 3 or 4 or 5 packages before you are satisfied and are full and want no more Reese's peanut butter cup. And so there's a difference between being pleased and satisfied, and God is easy to please. We can do that by an act of obedience, but he's hard to satisfy because he wants us to be sanctified. Parents have a young baby, and that young baby takes their first steps, and they stumble along, and they make it from mom to dad, and mom and dad clap and give that little one a word of encouragement, and they are pleased. But if that little baby grows up and walks down the wedding aisle the same way they took their first steps, mom and dad are not satisfied. They want that little one to learn to walk without stumbling, and they want that little one to learn to run and to be able to go fast. And then we're not pleased, just pleased, we're satisfied. And again, that's the way God is. We can please him with an act of obedience, but he won't be satisfied until we're sanctified. David said in the 17th Psalm, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." That ought to be the attitude of every Christian. Again, we ought to feel good when we please God. We ought to want to please God. But we ought to say like David, "I'm not going to get satisfied until I awake with the likeness of Christ in my life." The problem is, with many, many Christians, we get satisfied when we ought to just be pleased. We get satisfied when we've done something to please God, and God is pleased. And that's a good thing, to spend our life pleasing God. But we ought not to get satisfied, because the moment that we get satisfied is when we quit growing. The moment that we think we have arrived is when we quit striving to do more for God. Paul says, "Hey, I'm forgetting the past. I'm forgetting the past." I mean, he had a lot of bad things in his past to forget, but he also had some good things. And when he wrote the book of Philippians chapter 3, he had some good things in his past. He says, I'm forgetting the past. I'm glad I pleased God, but I'm not going to be satisfied with what I've done in the past. I'm going to keep pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is to be like Christ Jesus, to be sanctified. So he's pleased when we're obedient, but he's not satisfied. Too many of us, instead of just being pleased, are satisfied, and we need to be like David and say, "I'm not going to be satisfied until I awake like Christ." That's the only way we'll continue to grow. We please God when we read our Bible. But if we get satisfied with our level of Bible reading, we'll never go deeper. We'll never read more. I think we ought to have a growing hunger for the Word of God. I think we ought to get to the point in our Christian life where we wake up in the morning and we just can't wait to open the Bible. We just can't wait to open the Word of God to see what God is going to say to us that session, that time that we spend in his Word. Do you know every time you open this book, you ought to do so with the expectation that you're going to hear from the author? That you're going to hear from the author through the pages of this book. That's what God uses this book for, to speak to us. And every time we open it up, we ought to do it with the expectation that we're going to hear from him. Don't get up. Now, look, if this is the only reason you're going to do it because it's your duty to do it, you keep doing it. I mean, if you get up in the morning and say, morning time, got to read my Bible. There's other things I want to do, but I know it's right, so I'm going to read my Bible. If that's your only motivation, then you keep doing it. Because sooner or later, something's going to catch, and your hunger for the Word of God is going to grow. And instead of dreading it every morning, you're going to get up looking forward to it. You're going to not only read it in the morning, but you're going to slip time in during the day. I can remember when Adam was and Chantel were going to school, and we went down for a conference at their church, and they had students driving the buses that were taking us back and forth between the different places that they had. And I got on a bus, and I noticed the driver had his Bible open, reading his Bible. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm reading my Bible." I said, "I thought you were supposed to be driving the bus." He said, "Yeah, but we don't leave for 5 minutes." I said, "So you use every spare moment you have to read your Bible?" And he looked at me and said, "Don't you?" I said, "I haven't yet, but maybe I'll start based on what you just told me." I mean, he loved his Bible so much that he used every spare moment to open it up and to read it and to see what God had to say. Same thing when it comes to prayer. We ought to realize that when we pray, we are talking to our Creator. We are talking to the God of gods. We have His ear. He's interested in what goes on in our life. I know people say, "Well, God already knows what I want. God already knows what I need. Why should I ask Him?" Because He wants us to. He wants us to ask Him. He invites us to boldly come before the throne of grace and make our petitions known. He says, "You have not because you ask not." He wants us to pray. And when we get to the point in our life where we do what the Bible says and pray about everything, then we're getting closer and closer to being sanctified. We're getting closer and closer not to just pleasing God, but to satisfy Him. Shirley talked about winning souls to Christ. Dan talks about it often. And again, that was the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. He came. He said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." That's what He spent His time here doing. He was on the lookout for folks that needed that hear the gospel, that needed to hear about Him, and He was willing to share it. We ought to be the same way. Shirley, I don't think God's done with you yet. Don't give up. Don't quit looking for people that you can share the gospel with, because He's not done with you yet. Don't be satisfied with what you've done in the past. That pleased God, but don't be satisfied. None of us ought to be satisfied. We could do more for God if we realized that we pleased Him instead of satisfying Him. And so it's true in our individual Christian lives. It's a wonderful thing to please God. We ought to set out every day to please God and as many times as we can, but not get satisfied. Because when we do, we'll quit. We'll think, "I've arrived." And if the Apostle Paul says, "I haven't attained yet," then none of us can say we have either. Now, same thing's true about a church. You want to know why our church is growing? You want to know? Because there's a bunch of people in this church that are not satisfied. We had 240 people this morning. I mean, we could sit back and say, "Oh boy, that's good." I mean, we had 59 more than we had last year. We're beating our average already for the month of September. I mean, you look at the auditorium; it was almost full. You know, I just can't wait, and I think it's going to happen in the next month or so. I think God's going to fill the bottom up. I think we're going to have to keep the choir. I think the pressure is going to be on to have to finish the balcony, because I think we're going to run out of room. I think we're going to have to set chairs back in that aisleway we left back there for chairs. And God's going to say, "Hey, come on, get off of it. You got more room up there. You can put another 60 or 70 seats up there. What are you waiting for? Are you satisfied?" And we ought to say, "No, Lord, we're not going to be satisfied. It's wonderful the way you're blessing us, but we know you have more, and we want more." I mean, we can please God with the number that we have, not only in church and Sunday school and all the other things that God is doing, but I don't want to get satisfied. The moment that we get satisfied and think there's no more that we can do for God, God says, "Okay, I'll withdraw my hand of blessing. If you've got all you want, I want everything that God has to give us. I do not want to miss a blessing that God has for us as a church. And if that means that we have to live in a state of dissatisfaction, then let's do it and let's just prove God and see what he can do with us. I don't believe he's done with us yet. I believe he has more to give us, and he'll give it to us when we show him that we want it. And we do that by the way we pray. We do that by the way we work. We do that by the way we expect him to work in our midst. And so here's my objective tonight. I want to create a little dissatisfaction in the church. Not with anything that's going on, but I want to create some dissatisfaction because every single person wants more. I think it's wonderful that we have room to stretch out. I haven't heard anybody complain since we opened up the back of the auditorium how crowded they feel. I'm looking forward to that day again. I'm looking forward when people come up to me and say, we don't have enough room in the auditorium. It's too crowded. That'll be a good thing. And we'll get off of it and get the balcony done. And when we fill up the balcony, well, I don't know what we're going to do next. We'll have to figure that out when we get there. But again, one simple point tonight. God is easy to please, and we ought to do it. We ought to strive to please him every day. Every day. Multiple times a day, we ought to strive to please God. We do that with our obedience. We do that with doing what he tells us to do day by day. But don't get satisfied because he's not. He's not going to be satisfied till we awake with the likeness of Christ. And we need to say like the Apostle Paul, I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Whenever we let people pick songs, Helen Rainey always used to pick, it used to be number 318 in her old songbook. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That's what we ought to want. What we ought to want. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. And I pray tonight that we'd be a people that want to please you, but we wouldn't get satisfied with ourselves knowing that you're not. That you want us to keep making progress, keep pressing toward that mark, keep becoming more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you'll give us that unction, that desire, that dissatisfaction that wants us to want more from you. Father, I pray if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I don't think there is, but I don't know, only you know, and they. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, you've been talking to them in the last few minutes. You've shown them their sin, the penalty for that sin, separation from you, and how Jesus paid for it on Calvary. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would draw them to the Savior just now. They could come in just a minute. I'll have somebody take the Bible and show them from the Word of God how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. So speak to our hearts. Work in us tonight. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.